This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. We love spending this time with you. Yes, we do. Monday through Friday, right here on this same station, as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm always looking forward to hearing from you. Your calls make this show happen. That's why I'm always encouraging you to pick up the phone and to spend this time with us. We can chit-chat right on the air together about anything that you want to talk about, most typically. And let me give you that toll-free number for you to use if you're here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Another way that you can join us is through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply go on out there and use the chat feature. Put your question or comment in there, your inspiration or insight, maybe your word of encouragement. And Jeff Burson, our producer, social media manager as well, will get it, retrieve it, put it up on the board. We'll be able to address it. Matthew Gubensky is on the phones today. We invite you to give him a big old howdy hey when you call in. Let him know that you appreciate what it is that we all do here at EWTN, because you know what? We so appreciate you. Yes, we do. We certainly do. And I love to get your calls. So do give us a call. Again, it's 833-288-EWTN. What is that? That is the toll-free number that you use to join us today. Well, today is Thursday, and today is the day that I am in production at EWTN. I oftentimes give you like a little preview into what's going on there today. And at least for our program, we are going to be interviewing two beautiful women of God. One of them is Johnny Scythe. Johnny Scythe has written a beautiful book called Pain of Grace. It's a beautiful exploration of the way in which God uses suffering in our lives. She knows she suffers from a debilitating progressive disease that began to reveal itself to her when she was just a child. It began to be apparent in her life and has followed her through all of these various years. She's going to talk with us about that disease, but also about how it is that suffering in and of itself can be a treasure of grace when we are willing to embrace it and unite it to the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, that topic is one that will never be exhausted. It's one that's very dear to my heart. I do believe that God does entrust crosses to us. Why? Because he wants to work good out of that cross that couldn't be worked unless the cross existed. And what is that? It's the same pattern that we see in salvation history, isn't it? Isn't that what the Lord did? Isn't that what the cross of our Lord is all about? That the greatest good that could ever come was going to come by way of the very thing that the evil one wanted to use for our destruction. And what was that? Suffering and death. And what does Father God do? He takes suffering, he takes death, and he makes it the means by which life comes into the world. Everlasting life. The life that can only come through the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word made flesh, the incarnate God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we meet individuals who have suffered greatly, when we see individuals who have very big crosses to carry and they carry them with joy and they carry them with hope and they carry them with trust, it's an inspiration, isn't it? It points out to us that suffering need not have the last word. That the very suffering, the very sorrow, the very pain, the very reversal or contradiction that God wants, that the evil one wants to use against us, God is going to take that and he's going to make it the stuff out of which great good comes. So, you know, I really find that it's a blessing for me to interview individuals whose crosses are heavy and yet show us how to carry that cross in union with Christ and how it is to mine those treasures of grace that exist within the cross. It edifies me and it helps me to look at the small crosses that God entrusts to me and to carry them with greater love, greater thanksgiving, greater fervency, more trust, and more hope. So Joni, or excuse me, I keep wanting to call her Joni, but it's Johnny. And that shouldn't be hard because my mother went by Johnny. But all of that being said, she is going to be with us today, Johnny Scythe. In addition to that, we are going to have Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle with us. I haven't had Donna in studio for quite a while. I'm eager to have her back. She's written a new book published by EWTN Publishing, and it's called 30 Visits with Mary, Eucharistic Adoration. So the idea here is that these 30 visits with Mary we make with, in the company of, spiritual company of our Blessed Mother, and we make them in front of the Blessed Sacrament, exposed if possible, reposed if not. So it's a lovely book, very beautiful book. We're going to be talking with her about how to incorporate our Blessed Mother into our devotional life more deliberately and intentionally, especially at the time that we're adoring her son under the guise of the host, right? He presents himself to that way. How is it then that our Blessed Mother can obtain for us the graces that we need to move more deeply into that great mystery that we're beholding? So I'm eager to talk with Donna Marie about this and about all of the various ways in which she gives us insight. And they're going to be beautiful shows. All of those four shows are going to be beautiful shows. And then we're going to do a Journeys with Jesus. Now, you know, every Friday, this is a new segment. It's sort of like a little series inside of Women of Grace. And we're talking and have been talking about holiness of life. We've been talking about how it is that we enter the School of Mary, how it is that we engage in the curriculum that she offers us. And what is that curriculum? The rosary and the scapular. We've explored the rosary. We've explored the scapular, discovering how it is that that leads us into closer union with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about her 10 principal virtues as given to us by St. Louis de Montfort in True Devotion to Mary. We've talked about her profound humility. We've talked about her lively faith. We've talked about her blind obedience. And today we're going to go into universal mortification. What is that? How did Our Lady demonstrate that? How are we called to demonstrate it? And what is mortification after all? So all kinds of good things, you know, on my schedule for today. But the best opportunity I have right now in this very moment is talking with you right here on Women of Grace Live. So I'm encouraging you, please do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. In addition to that, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you to use that chat feature to leave your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement there. Some of you were not able to get on the air yesterday when Sue was with us. If you have questions for me about any of those topics that we talked about yesterday, I'm happy to respond. Also eager to chit-chat with you about the various ways in which, you know, God is offering you a deeper walk with Him. Maybe by way of the cross, maybe via a particular devotion. Let's talk about it right here on Women of Grace Live. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're coming right up on the other side of this break. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today, encouraging you to give us a call. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you do that, and we're eager to hear from you. Matt Gubensky is waiting for you. Yes, he is. I don't want him drumming his fingers. I want him to be busy answering that phone, getting you up on the board so we can chit-chat together today. If you're a first-time caller, I sure do want to know about it so that we can ring our welcome bell for you. That welcome bell gets rung for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. And I love to know about all that. I love to ring the bell. So keep me busy, bell ringing. Keep Matt busy answering the phone. Keep Jeff busy running out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and collecting your questions or comments there. He'll get them up on the board. We will be able to address them. So I was chit-chatting with you about what's going on in my day-to-day. What's going on in your day-to-day? How is it that God is going to keep you occupied in his service today? Oftentimes it comes by way of our state in life and our daily duties and responsibilities. And sometimes he's got us engaged in acts of charity, outreaches to other individuals. And sometimes he's offering us extraordinary opportunities, but he's always doing something. He's always engaging us. He's always inviting us to come more deeply into relationship with him. And one of the ways in which we do that is by opening our hearts to those various beautiful opportunities that he gives us for prayer and for service to each other. Do want you to check out our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got lots of things coming up. Oh, I'm so excited. I don't know if you tick through, you know, our little, slideshow presentation there. I know that I often refer you to the upcoming events, which is located shortly thereafter, you know, on that left-hand side of the homepage. But, you know, our slideshow is really nice. I really like it. The women who put this together, and it is the women who put this together at the ministry and get it up there, you know, it's really wonderful. It's Thea and it's Isabel and it's mostly Kate. Kate does all of our social media and a lot of our graphic work for us. But if you go there and you tick through, you're going to see a lot of things that are coming up. And the very first one there is also mentioned in our upcoming events. It's our Women of Grace book study. We're going to be studying The Fire Within by Thomas Dubay. It really is a spiritual classic, a contemporary book that I think we can already call a classic because it's sold, you know, I don't know how many, but lots and lots and thousands of copies. It is an exploration into the spirituality of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. And it really is tremendous. Sue Brinkman, Third Order Carmelite, also, you know, our Wacky Wednesday co-host with me on the program, is going to be leading that book study. And I can assure you that Sue is going to bring a lot to it from her own personal life of prayer, her own study of Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. But, you know, Father Thomas Dubay, he was an expert in this area. And I just, you know, I had the beautiful, beautiful fortune of knowing Father Thomas Dubay, meeting him and talking with him on the phone. He's just a wonderful man of God. He was always available. He was one of the busiest persons I knew at that point in time. He was always somewhere. And the somewhere that he was always, an occasion for him to be able to present to people and to take them more deeply into their life of faith. Just loved this holy man of God. He's gone now a number of years. But I remember one time, too, it was the Little Sisters of the Poor there in Washington, D.C. that took care of him in his very elderly years. And I was up there. I was going to be presenting at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And the conference organizers had arranged for me to actually stay there with the Little Sisters of the Poor. And what a blessing that was. Oh, my goodness sakes. And what a joy it was for me because I took my meals with the people who they were caring for there. I did not get an opportunity to see Father Thomas Dubay at that time, though I knew he was there. And just, you know, being in that beautiful place of refuge and of comfort, staying there and knowing that he was located somewhere in that building was really sheer joy for me. I just always thought he was such a not only a gifted man and a brilliant man, but a holy man, truly a holy man. And so, you know, this book study is meaningful to me on a personal level, obviously. And I know that it's going to be a beautiful opportunity for you. So I invite you to join us for this book study. We hold it by Zoom and we have the capacity for numbers of you, hundreds of you really, to come and join us for it. And it's really a book that deserves to be studied. We're going to do it over 13 weeks. It's the, I think, probably the longest or one of the longer book studies that we've done, The End of This Present World was also one that lasted a long time because it's a rich book, as is this one. So I think that you're going to grow from it. And isn't that the important thing, right? Anything that we can do to enhance our relationship with the Lord, anything that we can do to enter more deeply into the spiritual life and into union with God, we should take advantage of. And, you know, because it's in that kind of spiritual quest, you know, that we find ourselves more open and receptive to God. And God looks at us and he sees that. He sees that effort, you know, and he makes haste to help us. You know, I think about how it is with a little child. You know, a little child is striving to learn. You know, I taught school for a number of years. I didn't teach little children. I taught high school kids. But, you know, occasionally I would have a student who was struggling. I remember one young man. Oh, now here I am. I'm on a roll here. But I remember one young man that I was teaching, and the school system had failed him. He was a product of desegregation. And this little boy had been in failing schools all through his elementary school years. And desegregation happened, and he was being shuffled far from his neighborhood to the school where I was teaching. And I was an American literature teacher and a composition teacher. And they were both required classes in order to graduate. And primarily those classes were taught in the junior year. This young man was a senior, and occasionally we got seniors in our class because they had not passed American Lit or composition, and they needed it to graduate. So this young man was one of those. And, you know, I can still see his face to this day. I can still exactly see where he sat in the classroom. I was drawn to him. And I think it was, you know, just that maternal reaching out to someone who, you know, is struggling. And yet, you know, whenever, and I always had a practice of, you know, sometimes like if we were studying a book, or we would read it out loud in class, you know, not the whole thing, but we would do it. And sometimes I would read sections to the class and we would talk about those sections. He was always very attentive. And so he would participate in class, you know, and he understood. I could see that. So I was scratching my head, you know, what is the deal here? So I found out what the deal was. It didn't take overly long to find it out. And what I discovered was that his quiz scores and test scores in no way reflected what I was seeing in class. Bottom line was, this young man, 16 years old, was not able to read. And this class was going to determine if he graduated with a diploma or not. And he had come all the way through the system, and now somehow that decision rested with me, with the course that I was teaching, and with his performance within that class. So when I discovered this, I held him after class one day for a couple of moments, and I kind of sat down beside him in the desk next to him. I faced him, and I just asked him, I said, "So tell me, what's the problem?" And he just hung his head. He just hung his head. And I said, "You can't read, can you?" And he says, "No, I can't read." He had been passed from grade to grade to grade to grade. He was a junior in high school, and the boy couldn't read. Well, I'll tell you what, I was filled with righteous indignation, and it was fired and fueled by anger. And I headed off to the principal's office, and I went in there and sat down opposite him. And he said, "You know, what is the matter? You know, what are you so upset about?" So I told him the whole story. And I said to him, "What do you recommend I do? You're the principal of this school. What do you recommend I do with this young man?" And he looked at me and he said, "You do what you think is right." Well, he wasn't going to help me make that decision. So what I did is I made a time for him to come and take that final examination. And I read him every question, and I answered precisely as he responded. And the way in which he responded gave him a passing grade. Not just a passing grade. but a good passing grade. And he graduated. And I made him promise me that he would take it upon himself to enter into a class and learn how to read. I never found out if he made good on his promise, but I sincerely hope that he did. And it showed me how important it is for us to make use of every opportunity that we have. Every opportunity that we have to witness love to another, to help another who is struggling. But in addition to that, to make use of the opportunities that are given us, not to reject them, but to appropriate them rightly, that we might develop those gifts and talents that God's given to us, and we might enter into closer relationship with Him. So, guess what? That whole story came out of what? Inviting you to sign up for our Women of Grace book study that's coming up on September the 18th. We've got lots of other things, you know, that are happening too. I just want to draw your attention that on September 30th, we're going to have a 20th anniversary Wagathon and celebration. Yes, we are. And all of the information about that is available for you. We want you to join us. It's a free thing to come to. It's going to be held online. This is the 20th year that our apostolate to women has come to, you know, 20 years. I can't believe that. Oh, my gracious sakes, what a wonderful thing. So I invite you to join us for that beautiful thing and anything else. But here I am. I'm inviting you to give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. And I'm asking you not to be shy, but to pick up the phone to give us a call here. All of our lines are open right now. I want to see those lines populated with your calls. We're talking about all kinds of different things today. We are talking about the way in which we can indeed enter into a deeper relationship with our Lord. We're talking about the way in which we have found a path to that deepening through suffering. We're talking about the way in which we can find God with us in the everyday events of our life and through the duties that He entrusts to us. How do we use those duties for His honor and glory? How do we use them as a means for us to enter more deeply into relationship with Him? We have Kathy with us. San Antonio, Texas is the way she is calling. Guadalupe Radio Network is the means she's listening to us. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
So I just have a question. I have a 39-year-old daughter. She hasn't spoken to me in 8 months, and I think I've tried everything for her to open up to me. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, Kathy, so prior to the 8 months, did she speak with you?
Yes.
Okay,
we were
so
great.
So do you know what happened to cause this kind of silence?
No, ma'am. I've been trying to get that out of her. I've tried to call, I've texted, I've emailed, and pretty much just has begged her to give me some kind of clue, but she won't respond to anything.
Mm. Does she keep in touch with other family members?
No, not really. I mean, she will talk to them if they attempt things first, but that's really it, but not really opening up to them.
You know, typically when these things happen, they're rooted in a misunderstanding. And, you know, obviously if there's been a misunderstanding, we want to try to resolve it and to reconcile it. But sometimes too, there are life changes that occur in a person's life that will pull them away from family and basically cause a type of freeze on relationships with family members that we are close to. And I don't know anything about your daughter, obviously, but I'm wondering if there haven't been some influences or behaviors that could be responsible for her silence. And that's why I wanted to know, has she kept in touch with other family members? And would anyone have any idea what's happening?
No, everybody asks me what's going on. And I say, I don't know. I have no clue. Now, I know two or three years ago, her and her husband had some really bad problems. And I don't, I mean, they're right now at the point where their marriage is okay. And, you know, she fell away from the church and went to his church, you know, non-denomination. And I don't think that has anything, because I really don't say anything about that anymore, because I want to keep things open, communication, you know. I don't know. I'm like really clueless. Now, her daddy, my ex-husband, he doesn't really want to get involved in it, and I understand that. But the only thing he told me is that she said that I hurt her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what I did to hurt her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, nothing that would constitute 8 months of silence.
Yeah. Well, now, if that is the root of the problem, obviously, I'm sure that you've taken steps to try to rectify that. It's interesting to me, and not too many days ago, I spoke about a homily that I had heard Father Miguel preach up in Hansville at the Shrine. And he was talking about the fact that he had inadvertently hurt someone's feelings. The person had the courage to tell him about it right away. And Father was able to apologize, even though this was not an intentional action. And so that is always the Christian way to approach this. And so if that might be the root of the problem, I'm sure you've reached out and said to her that, you know, if you've hurt her, you're sorry. It certainly wasn't your intention. You didn't know what you did, but that you love her and you want to try to reconcile the relationship. Other than that, Kathy, all you can do is to pray for her, to make intercession for her, and maybe to sacrifice for her that this situation can be resolved. Coming right back, stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are indeed listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. Happy to be with you today. Boy, do I want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. It's a toll-free number for you here in North America. Again, it's 833-288-3986. Also available for you outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985 is the number for you to use. Again, that's country code 1-205-271-2985. Social media is still another route through which you can join us. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Chat feature at both of those places. You can use it. Put your question or comment in there. Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will get it and put it up on the board for me. Matthew Gubinski is going to take your phone call today. If you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, let us know. We're going to ring our happy little bell for you. Yes, we are. So I'm inviting you to make use of this opportunity so that we can have that holy conversation together. We had Kathy on the phone there. She was calling us from San Antonio, Texas, listening via Guadalupe Radio Network. Her daughter has estranged herself from Kathy, and she doesn't know why. She kind of has heard it through the grapevine that Kathy hurt her in some way. She doesn't know what she did. She has tried just about every means to be able to reach out to her daughter, and to no avail. The daughter is remaining staunch in her isolation from her mom. And I got to just tell you, I mean, this is such a heartache for mothers. It is such a heartache for mothers. I just want to say right now, if you're estranged from your mom, or if you're estranged from your father, or if you're estranged from a sister or a brother, a close friend or another relative, you just got to get over yourself. You really do. I mean, this is no way to live. This is not the way our Lord would have us live. He intends for us to live together as His family on earth, especially within the family that He's entrusted us to be a part of. And we hold on to these silly grudges and these hurt feelings, and we stoke them. We stoke the fire of them with bitterness and resentment and ruminating on it and talking about it until this thing becomes such a big monster in our head that it owns us. We become in bondage to that affront that we believe was purposely perpetrated on us. And sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was accidental. Sometimes a person doesn't even know what they did. That's Kathy's situation. You know, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to reach out when we perceive that somebody has slighted us to greater or lesser extent. And I'm sometimes amazed at the silliness. Listen, I've done the same thing. I've done the same thing. And retrospectively, I look back and think, wasn't I a fool? Wasn't I silly to allow a beautiful relationship to be injured by my pride, by my selfishness, by my concern about me, by my licking that wound until I cause an infection and that thing becomes an inflammation within me? You know, we've got to just get over ourselves sometime. Stop the pity party. Move out. Be the reconciler. Pick up the phone. Call the person. Sit down. Have a conversation. Work it out. Work it out. We just inflict such sorrow upon each other for absolutely no reason. You know, I've met people in my past that have been angry at family members like for 30 or 40 years, and you ask them what caused the problem, they don't even remember. They just know that they're so embroiled in hatred and dislike for the individual. And they just keep stoking it. They don't even know why. I don't know. Well, I'm sorry, Kathy. There was a good suggestion. If your daughter posts on social media, you might go out there and see if she's, you know, giving any indication about what it is that could actually be going on. That might be a way that you can find out. But in the meantime, honey, all you can do is pray and continue these little efforts, letting her know that you are there. I remember that, you know, my grandma did that for me when I was in college. And I was living, you know, a life very outside of the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. She would just send me little notes every once in a while. And she would just say, I love you. I'm always here for you. I'm praying for you. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what. I didn't want to admit it, but I looked forward to those notes. Maybe something like that will work for you. God bless you. We're going to move forward. We've got Christian with us today. Christian is also listening to, he's listening to us via YouTube, but he's in Guadalupe, California. There you go. We've got Guadalupe coming at us every way. Hey, Christian.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, Janet. How are you doing this morning?
I'm dandy, thank you.
You can be so much as well. You look so cute with your eyeglasses. You look so cute with them. And you know what? One of my t-shirts, it says, pray the rosary. And also, yeah. God, I bless your mother with us.
Well, you know what, Christian?
And also, she was like,
you know, but, I got to tell you what, I like that. You know what? I like it very, very much. You know, it amazes me what it is that we can communicate in small ways. It amazes me how it is that we can float through the world just by putting on a t-shirt and be evangelizing people. So your t-shirt that says pray the rosary becomes a holy reminder to others out there who are Catholic, pick up your rosary and pray it. But in addition to that, it might spark the curiosity and the interest of someone to find out about the rosary. I know so many individuals that are Catholics that really don't know about these devotional practices or why it is that we participate in them. And then, obviously, there are many Protestants who don't know. So you're a walking bulletin board for the Lord when you wear a T-shirt that has a Catholic slogan or a Catholic message on it.
And also, I got the sweater of Our Blessed Mother.
You did? I'm sorry, what about Our Blessed Mom?
I got our T-shirt. The real qualifier. I have it right here with me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I am so grateful, Christian, for your call today. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but I am so grateful that you called in. And I think that you really give us all, you know, something to think about. How can we be a walking bulletin board for our Lord Jesus Christ? Woohoo! How can we be a walking bulletin board and evangelize the world? Just by what it is that we're wearing. That's great, Christian. Thank you so much.
Before you go, Garnet, I want you to keep on praying for my sister, Monica. I know that even when this, like, what is happening, I pray my rosary every night, and I'm asking our Lord, and I'm asking my Blessed Mother to be with me and my sister, even though that somebody's, like, she can walk with somebody. She has, like, lupus. She has, like, other, these other illnesses. And I know God and my Blessed Mother is be with me now. And I'm just trying to pray about this. And I just love my sister that she raised me since she was 13 years old. And she loves our Blessed Lady too.
Wonderful. Well, you know, Christian, whenever God entrusts a great portion of his cross to us, it's because he wants to do great things in us and through us by way of it. And it's hard for us to understand and comprehend that. But, you know, when we read Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, you know, St. Paul talks with us about this reality. And he says, you know, for I make up in my own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. And I often talk about that passage here on Women of Grace Live. There is nothing lacking in Christ's sufferings. It's all there. But it seems as though through his mystical body, he wants that sacrifice to be perpetuated in a way comparable, if you will, or similar to, better word, what happens in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is the perpetuation of the one sacrifice on Calvary's hill. It's represented. And when the Lord entrusts to us a big cross, he is inviting us to enter into that very mystery, to be, in a sense, a representation of his sufferings in the world today. And when we suffer that suffering in union with him, then we become a participator in that one redemptive act. We enter into his suffering and we make it present and the efficacy of it present again in our world today. It is a deep, deep mystery. So your sister suffering with, you know, an incurable disease, lupus. It's called the wolf because it attacks us. It attacks our body. Our body begins to destroy itself in certain ways. It can be controlled. The fact of the matter is that God does not offer us these crosses for no reason. And he's offering your sister and you, because you're her brother and love her, an opportunity to be these representers of that perpetuation of that one sacrifice on Calvary's hill. And the efficacy of that and what it can do for our world today will only be known on the other side of the veil. But it will be huge and it will be mighty. And you'll be amazed when God gives you the spiritual eyes to see and to see without obstruction the good that's come by way of this sacrificial offering in union with him. The two qualities that mark such an offering would be the two qualities that marked our Lord's offering: love and willingness. Love and willingness. He lovingly and willfully took up his cross and was crucified upon it. And so, yes, even though we do what we can in the natural to mitigate the effects of these crosses that are entrusted to us, and in no way does that nullify the opportunity to suffer in union with Christ, for the duration of time that that cross remains, we embrace it and carry it lovingly and willingly, even when we are striving through the gift of medicine and science and anything else that can mitigate the trial that we're in, even when we are actively seeking that kind of remedy. For the period of time that God entrusts the cross, we embrace it willingly and lovingly for the sake of his body, the church. Thank you, Christian, and God bless you. I appreciate it so very much when you call in. Bye-bye now. And listen, be assured of the fact that I will be praying for your sister and for you, right, as you continue to be the brother that she needs at this time in her life. God bless you, good man. We're going to go to Robbie, and Robbie is in San Diego, California. He is listening via YouTube. It might be a woman. We're going to hear what our caller has to say. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Jeanette. I have been watching you for years. It's so wonderful to talk to you.
Okay.
Right now, I am having the world's worst problem. I raised my children Catholic.
Yes.
And my son, he is now a warlock.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yes. And my daughter is non-binary, whatever that means. I keep telling her, look down. Look in the mirror, you're a woman. But, I have been dealing with this for years. And it's horrible. I try and pray the rosary. Usually I get it in 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm homebound. They're bringing me Holy Communion once a month, which is not even close to enough. I'd rather be receiving it every day. I watch Mass. I try and watch it every day and do the spiritual communion. And I pray the Divine Mercy, which has brought me out of a lots and lots of things. But I don't know what to do about my children. I've talked to the priests about them. I've even talked to the he's now a cardinal, and our cardinal-elect, our bishop here, I can't think of his name right now, but before he became cardinal, my son, who still says he's Catholic, which is crazy, he knows the bishop. So because one of his friends committed suicide, then they helped him, do the funeral service or whatever and all of that. So it was just really, for me right now, it's really horrifying. My son is gay. It just, the whole nine yards.
Oh, sweetie. Well, I'll tell you, I don't have to outline for you the influences that are in the world today that can lead our children down perilous routes, both physically and spiritually, because you're living the reality of it. And when our children reach a certain age, there's very little that we can do to intervene in their life. We don't have authority over them any longer. And what we can do is what you are doing, and that is to pray for them and to offer your sufferings. You're homebound. I don't know what is the cause of that, but whatever the cause of it is, this in and of itself is a type of sacrifice and suffering that you can offer on behalf of your children. And as I often say, the best prayer we can pray is the prayer that Jesus offered his Father on the cross. And what was that? It was his suffering. So the suffering that you experience by your confinement, as well as by the debilitating factor that's keeping you confined, can become for you a great tool, a beautiful way in which you can be an intercessor after the fashion of our Lord's own intercession for the sake of your son and for the sake of your daughter. The fact that he identifies himself as a warlock is an indicator that he is participating in the black arts. This is very spiritually dangerous. It is such kinds of activity that certainly can lead to obsession and oppression and possession. To the extent that he's engaged in this kind of activity, to that extent, is he in a place where it's going to take all of that suffering that you can offer as a means of reparation for what it is that he's doing, but also as a means of intercession to break the bondage that he most likely is in, whether he recognizes it or not. You know, fasting is one of the premier ways in which we can fight, you know, the tactics of the enemy. It's one of the key methods of spiritual warfare that we can use. Engaging, soliciting the prayer of others. I would recommend that you ask if you have in your area a Carmelite monastery. I would ask that you would engage the prayers of the Carmelites. They're very powerful prayers. The Carmelites are, you know, always adoring our Lord. I would engage that kind of prayer power because this is principalities and powers that you're facing, not the power of God, but the demonic forces. So I would recommend that for him. Stay close to Our Lady yourself. The rosary, obviously, is Our Lady's lasso. It's a very powerful prayer, and I'm glad you're praying it 5 days a week. I would try to increase it to 7 days a week, and I would try not to let the sun set or your eyes close, whichever, you know, comes last, without having prayed that rosary. I'm telling you what, it just does things that we can't even begin to imagine. As for your daughter, this mantra that is being piped, this horrible, you know, I'm going to call it dirge, that is being piped by the zeitgeist today, is so pervasive. She has bought into this lie, this deception propagated from hell. And that's what it is. This is an attack, a violent attack against the woman. I think it might well be the evil one's last attempt to nullify woman. And that's exactly what's happening through all of this craziness that we're seeing and all of these, you know, alphabet soup of identities that people are coming up with. The deepest reality of your daughter's identity, you have stated to her. She is a woman. She is a daughter of the Most High God. Everything about her, down to her cell structure, you know, contains the truth of who she is. Her DNA speaks the truth of who she is. And this refusal to accept reality about who we are, and repudiation of truth and complicit behavior of secular media, our government, our schools, our popular culture, everything, our capitulation to the lie carries the stench of hell with it. And I can't use stronger words to express how diabolical this is. Keep speaking the truth. Keep calling her who she is. Call her by the name that you gave her. Use the pronouns associated with the sex that she is and will always be, even should she mutilate her body. You know, this is the only thing that we can do. We've got to keep speaking truth to the darkness. We've got to keep speaking a truth to the lie. And that's what you need to do. Obviously, the same kind of prayer that you were praying for your son, you need to pray for her. Because she's in the grip. She's in the grip of a very, very powerful demonic attack here. So, you know, we'll pray for you, Robbie. We'll tuck you into our prayer so that you can stand strong and be the mom that you're called to be. And at this moment in time, it's a self-sacrificing mother. So I invite you to consider that and to do that. God bless you, dear. I know that this is a horrible suffering, but unite that suffering to the cross of our Lord. Be patient, be patient, be patient. Jose, first-time caller in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, ringing the bell. Just got 60 seconds, Jose. I don't think I can get to you, but I want to hear your story. You liked mine, and you say that you were in a similar position, and I want to hear about that. So I'm going to ask you, please call back tomorrow. You can start off our day together. So please do call back. We invite you to call us too, Monday through Friday. We are here for you. It is Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. I am always happy to be with you. Continue to pray. I'm telling you what, you heard some dire stories today, right? We come together as this mystical body of Christ through Women of Grace. Let's pray for each other. Until we are together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. May God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.